Okay, good morning. So we're about to do worship, so if you want to stand right up, you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty, so we're going to real quick, Elizabeth's going to do some fun words while I try to fix it.
Wait, what? Our iPad's not working. Aw.
Yeah, the things.
I had a feeling. What words am I going to say?
Just say stuff.
Hi. Just do a normal Sunday. We can't have a regular Sunday without there being technical difficulties. This is just a normal thing we have. It's kind of sad, though. Thanks. I was a bit confused. Like, wait, when are we going?
I'm trying to fix it.
You got this, Abby. I believe in you.
If we can't fix it, we're just going to skip to the last song and do that.
What?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Everyone. Abby, stop. Get some help.
That is not right.
Well, shucks.
Are you kidding me right now?
Technical difficulties. Abby's gonna cry.
So we're just gonna skip to the last song.
Why? What?
Because we can.
Why?
Because it's not hard. And you're just gonna play guitar. And I'm just gonna sing. Therefore, we don't have any problems.
Well, now I'm depressed.
Yeah, be depressed.
Aw, shucks.
Even though this is not a guitar song at all.
What if I just don't play? And then I'll just sing with you.
We could do acapella.
Acapella.
I don't
want to
do acapella.
Let's not do acapella.
Yeah, no. Play your guitar. Come on.
I'm not. This is not a guitar song.
What am I supposed to do?
We're supposed to sing this song.
But what? That's stupid.
Yes, we are.
I guess I'll just play piano because you don't want to be. You want to be special.
And you want to be special.
You want to be special.
I'm special.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Everything worked great last week. It's just this week.
It's because we're not prepared.
Because they're in Canada right now.
In the country of A.
Lame Canadians.
Canadians?
Yeah. Thank you.
this holy moment. I never want to leave.
I pray for us all to have a good Sunday this week. For us all to have a good week, that's what I mean. But I hope us all to be encouraged and glad that we are here in your presence, Lord. Lord, nothing else is better than you. We have to make sure that that's true. Lord, we all love you so much, and we know that you love us too. And I hope us all to have a good Sunday. Amen. Okay, say hi to everyone. Yay.
Sunday morning preacher said, life's a mist, it's just a breath. We're only here for a little while. Talked about his daddy's grave. It read 1910 to 98, but the years between were just a little line. Got me wondering what I'm chasing. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? I could take this life and live it well. I could keep on living it for myself. What's it gonna say when it calls me up? Was I just words or was I love? Did I love great or just good enough? I just hope he says well done. Don't want another minute wasted. There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing? Yeah, I got time, but time goes fast. Yeah, that line's all I have. What on earth am I doing? Hey. What on earth am I doing? Hey,
cause real life's in the trenches, not from the stands and our lofty benches with manicured hands. I wanna dash as dirty, a life fully spent, weathered and scarred from all the life that I lived. The times that we go out of our way to paint beautiful blue over somebody's grave. When we stopped and defended injustice, or sanded the heart of a friend that got rusted. I don't know my number or year that'll pass. From this cold world to the kingdom that lasts. But carpe diem, it's worth it to live it, not blur it. Or years could fly by and you still ain't met purpose.
There's a day we're born, day we pass. In between there's just a dash. What on earth am I doing? What on earth am I doing?
Hello, Life360.
Good morning, everybody. Just going to make a couple of adjustments here, so bear with me. It's great to be with you, and Pastor Scott has set up some things for us, and so I'm going to see how this works. If not, I'm going to call in the reinforcements. You know, it used to be that the biggest thing Christians feared was persecution, and now it's electrocution. So when you have a Sunday like this, all you can do is keep going.
Hello, Life360. This is Pastor Scott. I'm just here to share some announcements with you while I'm away. So we have Breaker Rock Beach coming up. This is our VBS. It's going to be July 8th through 12th at night from 9 a.m. to noon every single day.
Try that one more.
Hello, Life360. This is Pastor Scott. I'm just here to share some announcements with you while I'm away. So we have Breaker Rock Beach coming up. This is our VBS. It's going to be July 8th through 12th at from 9 a.m. to noon every single day at the Bear's Den. This is for all of our upcoming K through 6 grade people with optional field trip at the end at Wonders of Wildlife. That optional field trip, all that information is available at life360.org/Conway. And I recommend everyone pop over there and take a look. We're also looking for some volunteers to help out with different areas. So I'm hoping to see a ton of kids at VBS. The week after I get back, we're going to be going to youth camp. So May 29th through June 1st. And I'm really excited to be taking a bunch of students up there. Hopefully everyone has registered by now. If not, you can still register all the way through up until the end of it. But I was really hoping to make sure we have everything in place. So if you are interested and you've not registered yet, please, 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 please register right away so I can make sure to get all of that set up for us. Next up, Warriors at the Well. I believe women's ministry is happening while I am gone and while my wife is gone as well. So I encourage all of the women to come, and Sundays at 7 p.m. right here at the church. Divorce Care is still Monday nights, 6:30 p.m. You could definitely come and join. If you have been divorced, you're contemplating divorce, maybe you're in separation, maybe you've been in a long-term relationship that is broken apart, this is the place for you. It's a wonderful support group, great folks that are there to hear your story and share their own stories with you as well. Great learning experience for everyone who has been through this. That's Monday nights right here at the church, 6:30 p.m. On the back table, there's soap journals, or at least there was when I left. So I'm hoping that there's still some back there. So if you need a new soap journal, or if you know of someone who needs one, please feel free to go back there and get it. When I return, we'll be starting a new series on Daniel. That's May 26th. So I'm really excited to get into the book of Daniel with you and see what God has to share with us through the book of Daniel. If you want to follow along, you can follow along on the Faith Life Study Bible app. You can see all of the slides there and announcements, and hopefully you're following along on our church there. And kiddos, this is it. It's your chance to go. Go on with whoever's taking you back to kids' church, and I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you guys. I'm thinking about you. I care about you, and I love you guys. And I'll see you when I get back. God bless.
Praise God. It's kind of like having Pastor Scott in the room, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and take an offering, and can we go ahead and pray for that right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. God, we're thankful for Pastor Scott and his wife being able to get away, God. We're thankful for the refreshing that we can trust comes to them. Father, we thank you for taking care of the needs of Life 360 Conway. You've done it again and again and again. And we know, God, that you're going to continue to do it. Father, I pray that the faithfulness of this people will be rewarded with miracles that come their way. Father, I pray that as they give this morning, they'll give with a cheerful heart for the work of the church to be carried out, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think we should have been there all along. So we are now, if you need the QR code, it's right there. Praise God. Well, it's good to be with you. I don't know if you remember, but I was here a few months ago and kind of excited to be back and see the things that are happening. When I was first here, I think it was March perhaps, I walked outside and I think the first crocus I saw all year was over here by the fence. And I got to thinking about it, you know, that's a pretty cool thing when spring pops up. Now, apparently we've hit summer. It looks like we skipped the rest of spring, a good month and a week or two, but that's all right. I send greetings from my wife. She's working today. She's a nurse, and so she ends up occasionally working Sundays, and so she is sending her greetings, and we're coming up on 43 years of marriage on the 30th of May. So in these days, we figure that's probably pretty good. And unfortunately, I married her when she was 13, so, you know, it's one of those things. But we're really glad for what God's been doing in Conway. And I love Pastor Scott because I don't think a week goes by that he isn't contacting the ELT, the Executive Leadership Team, and saying, what if we were to go this way and do this? And he has such great faith to be able to do things and to see this church just come alive. And I believe with him, sometimes it's hard to stay in step with God. It's hard to stay in step with God. By the way, before I forget, and I don't want to neglect this, women's group tonight, but not next week. Okay, so just be aware of that. Next week, I think you're traveling, correct? Yes. All right, so happy travels. But you know, this idea of staying in step with God is pretty important, because the best example of learning what God's will was I ever saw in print was from a guy by the name of Henry Blackaby. And he said that staying in step with God, or knowing the will of God, is to listen to the Father and do what he does. So you actually have to be listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. You have to be listening for God to share with you what it is that he's doing. So you're putting people onto God's agenda. God has an agenda. He has a to-do list. And his to-do list has to do with things other than taking out the garbage. He doesn't need to worry about that. He doesn't need to worry about changing the oil in his car. He doesn't need to worry about paying the utility bill on time. Those are not God's worries. His concern, his only concern, really, is that mankind know Jesus. That everyone have a chance. I had a missionary associated at the church last night. We had dinner church at All Nations, and man, it was good. Had several people singing in their own languages. That was fun. But this missionary associate gets up and she says 0.37% of Japan knows Jesus. So 96.3% do not. And she is uprooting her whole life. She planned to be a band director. She planned to have an easy life other than having to keep in step and keep others in step. She abandoned all that, and she's headed to Japan next month in order to go to a place where 96.3% of the people do not know who Jesus is. Imagine that. That's faith. That's an absolute sense of what God's agenda is. Because faith is really hoping for what? Things that are unseen. And she's going there with a vision in her mind, straight from God, that says if she goes, that will turn around. And so she'll be working with the Chi Alpha. She's working in a team of experienced missionaries. This is her first time. It's pretty cool to watch and see her excitement. She just bubbled last night. And what's going to happen to her when she gets there is she'll be working with a Chi Alpha group on a college campus, and they already have 40 students in this Chi Alpha. That's a huge percentage of the Japanese Christians that are right there in that room when they gather. But she can see the nation coming to Jesus. And that's important. You've got to have God's mind. We want to keep in step with God. So as believers, all of us are called to live by faith. And the same holds true for a church. If a church is to fulfill its purpose, then faith must be lived out day by day by day. And this is really critical, because I've already spoken about Pastor Scott's faith. And I've seen how he has just poured himself into Conway and poured himself into Conway. But it's not just Pastor Scott's responsibility. It's the responsibility of the whole church. And that's hard when it's not a large group of people, because the same people get called on week after week after week. I get that. But by the same token, as you are doing this for the umpteenth time and you're wishing someone else was doing it, you pray over that and you say, God, what's missing here are the rest of the people in Conway. If they were all here, there'd be no problem doing all the things that we need to do. So, Father, bring those people our way. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. That's exactly what we've been talking about. Faith is the key to this whole thing in Conway. Faith is the key to working with refugees and immigrants in Springfield. It's the thing that we're trying to do in Bell City or Oran or up on the peninsula in Michigan, northern Michigan, or over in western Missouri in the church that's been planted there. These are all churches that have the same common vision, but we're all believing for something individual, something local to us. And so our purpose and our vision isn't your purpose and your vision, but we move together as a family of churches in order to spur each other on. And it happens a lot of times at the pastor's level. I don't know that it always happens at the congregation's level. But we pray for you. And we pray that God will help you to succeed and that Pastor Scott doesn't feel like he's trying to push jello. You know, if you try to push jello, it just doesn't work. If you try to motivate something and no one else is there saying, yeah, that's right, and everybody's kicking in their heels, that doesn't work well. Now, he's never said that you do that. In fact, he said just the opposite. He has faith about your faith. And that's critical. Faith is the reliance upon and trust in God. But be sure you catch this. Faith isn't about us. It's about God. And we often get that confused. We want faith that we will do well. We want faith that our things will settle. We want faith that this and that and the other thing will be solved. Maybe you need a new car. Maybe you need a transmission in the old car. Maybe you need something to happen with a son or a daughter who's astray. Faith isn't so much about what you want, but understanding what God wants. And the truth is, when we put our desires in line with His will, all those other things get solved. I was a missionary in Nigeria, West Africa, and we had this crazy notion that though we were living right at the sill of the 1040 window where all of the Muslims are located around the world, in this 1040 window, 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north, unless they've migrated to Europe or the United States, England, something like that. But the vast majority of Muslim nations lie between 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north. We were actually working at 10 degrees north. And so we were on the sill of the 1040 window. There were a lot of believers in Nigeria. The Nigerian church was about half the size of the American church when we got there. But all of the believers were in one region, so to speak. Yes, there were Christians where we were. Yes, there were Christians in Lagos on the far west side and other places like that. But the vast majority of believers were Igbo, and they were down in the east of the country. By the way, Nigeria doesn't consider that there is a south. There's north and east and west. And so the south is actually the ocean. So if you're on the land, you're either east or west down that way. And then when east and west meets north, north goes all the way into the desert. So here we are in this platform, plateau, and we're working with a national church that's strong. And the national leaders in that area really believed God for going places where the gospel hadn't gone. There was a city there that had not had the gospel preached in 1,000 years. It was a closed city. And that city had tall walls. And only Muslims, people of the Islamic faith, could go inside the city walls to be a part of what was going on inside the city. If you were a non-believer or if you were a Christian, you were stuck outside the walls. For 1,000 years, it had been that way. And we had this crazy idea that God could do something powerful. And we didn't know exactly what that would be. But we prayed with the national leader there. They called him an area leader, Pastor Mark. And we prayed with him. And he had this tremendous faith that we were going to be able to get into that city. Well, we went and we talked to the emir and the imam. The imam is the religious leader. The emir is the political leader in the Islamic system. There was a governor and all of that. But the real power was in the imam and in the emir. And we went in and we began talking to them about what this church we were hoping to plant would bring to their community. And we were in a little town about that same time, just outside the walls of that closed city. And we met with the king of that village. Now, the king had a house that was about the size of your foyer and restrooms. He called it his palace. And when we started talking to him about Jesus, he said, I would love to have come to Jesus when I was 8 years old. But how can I leave all of this? And all he was talking about was a concrete walled room about the size of your foyer, filled with one piece of furniture or another that he had found somewhere along the way. He was impoverished, and the people of his town were impoverished. There was no local water at all. No local water at all. And so they'd have boys and that should have been in school. They were pushing wheelbarrows with tall jerry cans of water from a well 10 miles away, 7 miles away. It was 10 kilometers, 7 miles. And they had to walk that each way. On the way over, it wasn't so bad. The water tanks were empty. On the way back, you can imagine these small, scrawny boys trying to lift that wheelbarrow, and they were moving it all the way back 7 miles to the village. And that process was repeated every day. And this king was satisfied, this Muslim king was satisfied with their way of life because it's what they knew, what their fathers knew, what their grandfathers knew, and how could it be better? But he said, I will do this. I'll send my sons to your meetings. I'll send my sons to your meetings. Now, I'm going to come back to that closed city in a minute, but I want to pick up where I left off with that king. That night, my son Thomas and I decided that we would do some things locally. So we weren't going to go away to go eat when everybody else was eating in the village. We weren't going to go away to lodge when everyone else was lodging in the village. And so the person, that area supervisor, Mark, had arranged for us to stay in a Baptist compound that used to be owned by a Muslim. And so it had many homes for his wives. And we were in the house of the third wife, which was now being used to store maize, corn. And so the problem with that is there was no wiring. Their windows were covered with corrugated metal, and they contracted heat all day long so that when you walked into the room, it was like an inferno. And on top of that, when you have corn, what else are you going to have? You're going to have rats. And they had found an old mattress and a spring. I think it must have come over from Germany when Kaiser Wilhelm was in power, because the thing was totally worn out. It was a double bed, not a full size, not a queen, a double bed. And my son Thomas and I were going to spend the night in this room. And as soon as we turned out what the Nigerians would call the tortula, you'd call a flashlight, all of a sudden, it's pitch black. And with the pitch black comes the sound of scratching. And I look over at Thomas, I can't see a thing. He looks over at me, he can't see a thing. So I kind of put my hand over there. He put his hand over there. And we figured as long as the other one was still in the room and moving, maybe we'd make it out alive. Because pretty soon, those bush rats, and they grow to be about yay long, they're larger than a house cat. Pretty soon, they began to play football with those ears of corn. And, I mean, everything in the room was moving, and so we did not sleep a wink. 10 degrees north of the equator, it was forever before dawn. 12 hours and 30 minutes in the summertime, 11 hours and 30 minutes of sun in the wintertime. You're not going to have a lot of variance. But the minute we saw a pinhole of light come through that hut window, through a nail hole that was in it, Thomas and I fled out of that room, thankful that God had kept us alive. Same thing that happened the night before at the restaurant. We decided to eat locally. They had oilskin tablecloths, like a red and white checker, like you'd see at an Italian restaurant. But they were, you know, pretty soot-covered because they cooked in the kitchen that did not have a flue. And so all of the smoke from the kitchen passed out through the front door of this restaurant. So everything was covered in a layer of soot and tar. And it was lit by a candle every four tables. And there were only like 12 tables in there. So three candles lighting up a large room. And as we were talking, Thomas and I had already ordered our food. We were really excited about it. We were going to do it the Nigerian way. We did bring bottled water because nothing tells you you're in Africa like drinking the local water. It will tell you that the next day, the next day, the next day. And it is the greatest weight loss treatment you've ever seen in your life. I won't tell you what happened, but you can figure it out. So we had the bottled water with us. We ate the food, and we prayed Mark 16 over. If you eat any, or drink any deadly poison, it will not harm you. Because we weren't sure what all was in the meal. No idea whatsoever. They told us it was chicken. It was supposed to be chicken. But sometimes chicken was hard to get, and that hut with the rats was just around the corner. Bushmeat was a normally eaten food. So we're sitting there, and as we're waiting, lit up by one little candle in a bowl on the table, and it was like a red bowl, so I mean it was a weird, eerie cast, especially with the smoke coming out of the kitchen. In that moment, we see things moving on the tablecloth, and we have absolutely no idea what's moving. There's tarantulas, there's scorpions, there's all of these different things that are natural to the area. And we just prayed that none of it made its way onto the plate. It was fine if it was on the table, but not on the plate. And so the meal came, and we ate it, and we thank God that the scripture is still true, because we had no idea what was going to happen after we ate. We just wanted to do it within the context of the local community. And Thomas and I, he was 8 years old, we had talked about this all the way over to the village and all the way, you know, in preparation of it. We just kept saying the same thing. We are going to have to some way, somehow relate to the local people that we are not too good to be with them. That's what we're trying to say. So next morning comes along, and Thomas had made some instant friends the afternoon before. And it was really interesting that the Nigerians, they are very polite and very modest people until it comes down to the kids. Because the truth is, if you're bringing water back and forth 10 kilometers each way, you don't have a lot of money to pay for water for bathing. And so the kids were just let run naked because it was easier to clean the kid than to wash the clothes. And so Thomas is playing with all these kids, and it got to be like the Pied Piper, and he'd lead and they'd follow, and Thomas had kind of a funny gait, and so they'd all imitate his movements, and they just had the best time. So the next morning, all the kids came looking for Thomas. And it's Good Friday, and we're going to hold a Good Friday service. And I had my message all prepared. I was dressed in my Nigerian clothing. We had eaten in the Nigerian restaurant. We had slept in the Nigerian hut. We had contextualized everything, I think. But all of a sudden, Thomas disappears with the boys into a hut. Now, I have no idea what's going on, so I gave the stink eye to my driver, Nahum, who is also my normal interpreter. We worked together all through the country. Nahum ran into the hut behind them, and out comes Thomas in Nahum's arms, 4 inches off the ground. His shirt's buttoned crooked. His pants are on sideways because he had become just as naked as the local children. And he had run across the back of the thing. I was preaching. I hadn't even caught it, but every person in the audience did. There's my boy with all these Nigerian kids, naked as a jaybird, and Nahum had him pushed into the hut, pulled him back out, partially dressed. Thomas's eyes are wide like this. Nahum's going, kai, 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 which is a Christian way of saying, I can't believe you did that. And I could tell just by the way people reacted, church was over. I signaled to Nahum to bring Thomas my way. I spoke to the area director there, Pastor Mark. I said, I'm going to have to take him home. He's just, I can't have this. And so we drove 4 hours one way, and then we would have to drive 4 hours the other way, and we'd still have to be back in time for church that night. So Nahum literally flew home. He's behind the wheel. He's squeezing it to where the cover is coming off the steering wheel. He's so angry. Kai, 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 kai. 1 hour. Kai, 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 2 hours. Kai, 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 kai. I'm looking at Thomas, giving him the death stare. I can't believe you did this. We pull up to the house. We're behind a tall gate with barbed wire on the top because we live in Nigeria and West Africa, and it's a very dangerous place to be. And so we honk at the gate. My wife is shocked to hear the horn on the car. They come running. I hand my son to my wife. I say, he's yours. And Nahum turns the car around, and we head back to the village. As we're driving, God began to speak to me. Said, Bill, what kind of clothes are you wearing? Well, I'm wearing my Nigerian clothing. They call them up and downs. In fact, in that part, it was a babenriga. So you throw the sleeves over, and then when it's dusty, you pull the sleeves out, and you pull your head up, and it's protection against the desert sand. He said, where'd you eat last night? I said, in the Nigerian restaurant. And by the way, God, Mark 16 works so well. Thank you for that. He said, where'd you sleep? I said, well, it was in a mud hut, the house of the third wife from an old Muslim estate that's now run by the Baptists. And he said, what language did you greet everyone in? I said, well, I greeted them in Hausa. He says, Hennessy, why did you do all that? It's always bad when God says Hennessy instead of Bill. I always know I'm on the line here. I said, well, God, I wanted to move any barrier between them and me that I could see. He said, what do you think your son Thomas did this morning? I looked up at God and said, if you think I'm going to go naked, you got another thing coming. He said, Thomas is 8 years old. He saw through an eight-year-old's eyes. But he was more of Jesus in that moment than you tend to ever be. And I was completely blindsided, dumbfounded. I had nothing to say. I pondered that the rest of the trip, and I completely changed the way that I was approaching things when I went back to that village. Did everything differently than I had planned. And hundreds of people came forward to receive Christ. It was powerful. After it was all over with, I was profoundly apologizing to Pastor Mark because of my son's inappropriate behavior, and he just started cracking up. I said, Pastor, why are you laughing? He said, well, it's settled an age-old question. I said, really, what's that? He said, we've always wondered if you missionaries were white all over. Mystery solved. Thomas had faith that if he could remove barriers, people would come to know Jesus. And he saw it through a child's eyes. I don't recommend it. It's not a strategy we've ever tried to have people repeat. It's not the way to win people to Jesus in our culture or context at all. But in that moment, in that situation, it was an extraordinary faith statement by an eight-year-old to see other people saved. Reliance upon and trust in God is critical. That's what faith is. Reliance upon and trust in God. I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to trust in God for what he wants to do in Conway. Pastor Scott does the same thing. I know you do the same thing. You trust God that what you see today is not what you will see in the coming months and years. You're here for the duration. You're here to build something. It's faith because you haven't yet seen all that it can become. But nonetheless, it is faith, because you don't despise the day of small beginnings, or in this particular case, maybe this the day of small revival. Okay? God can restore this church past its former glory. That's what he can do. And he can do it with some of the most jug-headed, closed-minded local people you've ever met in your life, who say, I've seen it all, I've heard it all, the gospel doesn't apply to me, I've known too many Christians, I like my beer, I like my whiskey, I like my abusive home. all of those things that person says, but God. But God. And he can break through all of those things. All that resistance, all that built up pain, where it's a fist against God every time that person speaks about faith. They raise their hand in rebellion toward God because they think they've seen it all, they think they've done it all, and they don't want any part of it. That's really who we're working with in Missouri. Very rarely do you come across anyone who hasn't ever heard who Jesus is. But boy, there's some folks that once heard his name who are now resistant to him. God can break that down. So I took a step of faith that you guys would interact with me. I believe that you would kind of talk back to me a little bit, because I want to ask you, what faith steps have you taken as a church? Can you answer that? What faith steps have you taken as a church? Now, I can give you some examples out of my church that I pastor in Springfield among internationals. It's not going to have much relevance here. So I'll give you a couple, and then we'll come back to you and see if you can come up with a list. Okay? So the church was in trouble when the previous pastor and his wife left. So did the worship team, because all their kids were musical, the pastor and his wife were musical, and so now it was suddenly the non-instrumental Assembly of God Church. They had no one to lead worship, and so they were using YouTube videos every time they met and trying to get through an evening that way. And they believed for a worship leader, and God brought a wonderful couple, Ray and Cynthia, and they have been there for about 15 months now. And we now have as many as 11 people on the stage during the worship time. And we have represented multiple nations. So much so that I've jokingly, but half serious, named the worship team Ray and the Internationals. Because when you see the Saturday night worship team, it's from all over the world. We have people from Kenya. We have people from the Philippines. We have people from Mexico or Hispanic background. We have people singing in Venezuelan. We have people singing in Cebu. We have people singing in Swahili. We have people singing in local languages. And it's a trip. But it's so localized, it's not anything anyone else would do. I wouldn't expect you to do it here. What possible reason could you have to sing a worship song in Swahili? But it works for us. So that was a faith thing. They needed a worship team. They went for months without a pastor. And I may have told you the story, but the previous pastors, wonderful people, they wanted to have a role in Bible college. And I was up in North Dakota at the time as a dean of academics. And I hired both of them to come up to North Dakota, not knowing there was no one to take the church in Springfield. And they went months with an interim pastor, retired missionary, great guy, still works with me. I worked with him for multiple years before leaving the mission. And Pastor David did a great job, but no one was a good fit. Every time they'd have someone come in and try out, it wasn't a good fit, either for them or for the church. And they were getting discouraged. They were getting weary of this process of having someone come in, having their hopes rise, and then, boom, down it went. So when they found us, it was a faith action that God rewarded. I don't know what they did to offend God, but we're their pastors. It's kind of fun, actually. I've never, ever been in a church that's more exciting than this one. So that's another thing. We adopted a new name because we believed that that would be important. The church name was Life 360 Intercultural. Great name if you know missions theology. But if you're not a missiologist, I'm not sure it speaks to people, especially if English is a second or third or fourth language. So we chose All Nations as a new name because it says exactly what we're attempting to do. All Nations. So there's three of ours. What have you been trusting in faith for God to do in Conway? Or what steps have you already taken? Sorry? Okay. What else? divorce care is critical. I mean, you get to a small town in America and the divorce rate would be probably very much larger than 50%. I was in a rural town in North Idaho, and there were two houses for every family. The mom's house and the dad's house. And sometimes it got real complicated. Whole neighborhoods, kind of on this round robin thing. And the kids were being victimized, and the husbands and the wives were being victimized. Nobody was winning in it. Divorce care is huge. What else? Sure. You know what? Many a revival has been started in a small group. And many times, God will do something in that group that God doesn't do in any one of the single churches around it. So yeah, women's group is critical. You put it on your heart, you had faith to start it, they're coming. That's awesome. What's another faith step that you've taken? The food pantry, sure. Again, hunger is an issue. We don't want to believe that. I mean, shouldn't Conway be kind of like Mayberry? Isn't that our expectation? But it isn't. There's hardship here. There's hardship in every small town in rural America. There's very few places that have really turned it around. Maybe if you know, watch HGTV and you see the couple that goes in and rehabs the houses and they live in, what is it, Mississippi or something. They turned around one town. They've tried to turn around other towns. It's been met with mixed success. But the truth is, most small towns in America are absolutely hurting. So the food pantry is a critical thing. Having coats for kids is a huge thing in an impoverished family. Nobody's going to want to say anything. These are their neighbors. They've known them all their lives. They don't want to admit that they're kids without a coat. Sure. The food pantry. Anything else you can think of off the top of your head? The after school program. Sure. And again, out of nothing, God has been building something, right? That's faith. Faith builds those things. And I believe that it's important for us to understand that God is up to something in your church. And I consider it to be my church because we're a family of churches, right? So I'm part of you, you're part of me. All Nations and Conway are part of each other because we're part of a family of churches. We do life together because it's easier to support one another than it is to go alone. That's why we're doing it. And we spent the last year as a leadership team of the executive team for this, revamping everything that we say we do to be more accurate to what we want to accomplish. And so we are there to partner, to equip, to nurture, and to serve. And under those four pillars, we are actually going to try and build a movement of church planting in rural towns. Our kind of unofficial motto is, we run in where everybody else is running out. That's kind of the goal. If a town is having trouble, doesn't mean it's a bad town, it's just having trouble, and people are starting to flee because they think the grass is greener somewhere else, that's where we want to go. Because the people who can't leave or won't leave need a witness. And so we have our own place in the kingdom of God. It's something he's called us to do. So faith isn't just about what God did in the past. Faith relates best to the things we have yet to see. Now here's where Pastor Scott can get scary. Pastor Scott can see the future. It is as clear to him as today is. And it's because he has tremendous faith that God's going to do something in Conway through this congregation, through the work of the Holy Spirit in this community. God's going to do something that has not been seen before. And if you're not entirely on board, that could scare you a little bit. But I think he sold you. I think he's convinced you. And he's convinced us many, many times that something that wouldn't make sense in one context makes sense here. And so we want to be supportive of those things. But the big question now is, why would God call us to build something we have yet to see? Hebrews 11:6 teaches us that we must have faith in order to please God. So faith to please him, I have faith that nurtures me, but my faith also blesses God. And I don't think we think of that correctly. I think we are possessive of our faith. I think we are in some way secretive about our faith. It's between me and God. And sometimes we don't even let God in on the secret. God's calling us to recognize that we have to have faith in order to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, right? Then we have to believe that he exists. A lot of days, that's easy. And then you're moving along and suddenly, boom, something hits you out of the blue. Right now in Springfield, a member of our church, a dear leader in the church, is sitting in Cox South at the ICU, trusting God for a last-minute miracle for her 38-year-old son. They had to make the tough decision to put him on comfort care this morning. There's really not an earthly solution to what happened to him, and he did it pretty much to himself, just in lifestyle. And she has had this moment where she had to determine that God is who he says he is and that he does what he says he does. And it has been amazing to watch her faith gain strength in the midst of a hopeless situation. I'll leave here and I'll go over there today. Faith that God is faith that wins our hearts, that he exists. Sue has to remember that God is who he says he is. She has to remember that God does what he says he does. Sue has to remember that God has a heart for her son better than her heart for her son. And by the way, that's one mama who loves her kids. And the family's gathered there in the worst of circumstances. And I'll go in and join them today. And I'll share in that moment, but it's not my moment, it's their moment. And I can't possibly feel it the way they feel it. But God is touched by what they're going through. And that's part of that faith to believe that he exists. That's part of what it is. I can't see how good can come of this. I can't see how this is resolved. And there is a better than likely chance that one day, if not today, one day soon, Sue goes home without her son. Unless God intervenes. And he can. And I'm trusting that he will. But it will be an 11th hour, 59 minute miracle at this point if he does. But in that moment when she's driving home from the hospital, knowing she won't have to go back because there's no point, her son is no longer there, she's going to have that firm foundation that she knows God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a tough moment for her. Our church has wept with her. Our church has prayed fervently with her. We're going to stand with her regardless of the miracle or the loss. That's what church does. In order that she would be bolstered in her faith, in order that others in her family that may need to know Jesus more personally, we want them to see it as well. And so we're trusting God to do more than we can ask or think. And it all rests on believing that he is. He exists. But then he goes on and in Hebrews and he says, we must believe that he rewards those who seek him. It's tough to do when you're in between jobs. When bills stack up. when tensions build and relationships that went south, all that time that we are going through this deep valley, there's this sense of where is God and why can't I hear him? And in that moment, you have to believe that he rewards those who seek him. And whatever it is you're going through, don't stop. Because the miracle you're looking for is on the other end of this thing. And that depth of relationship is there at the end. Faith provides the power we need to walk with God daily. It puts us in step with the Holy Spirit. That little missionary associate that I told you about to Japan who wanted to be a band director. She has two jobs as a band director in a high school like this. One is to get students to play the right music at the right time on the right instrument. That's her first responsibility. The second one is almost impossible, and that's to get them to march in time. Because you always get somebody with ADHD. You always get someone who has the attention span of a fruit fly. You always have somebody who just thinks it would be better if they did it some other way, right? And so everybody are going, left, right, left, right. Somebody else be going, right, right, left, right, right, left. And she has to have that idea of, no, no, that's not going to work. What we need you to do is to be in step with the marshal of the band. So when that marshal is putting a left foot down, you're putting a left foot down. When that marshal is putting a right foot down, you're putting a right foot down. It's being in step. You go into the military and they have whole cadences to teach soldiers this so that they can march and run in time. You know, the cadence for people my age? I don't know, but I've been told no such thing as getting old. But the idea behind it is to get people to in sync, in step. Well, what if we got in step with the Holy Ghost? What if we got in step with the Holy Spirit? And when the Holy Spirit said, move your foot left, we moved it left. When he said, put it right, we'll put it right. And when he said, stop, we stopped. And when he said, march, we marched. What would happen to our spiritual lives if we were so in tune to the Holy Spirit that that's what we were listening for? That's what we were trying to do. Not just, how do I get through the week, Lord? But what do you want me to learn out of the week you've given me? It's a whole different level. Now, I'm guessing by now you feel like a deer in the headlights because everything I've said this morning sounds great until you think about what God might call you to do before the faith statements come through. In other words, you're already busy, you know. You're running a women's ministry. You're helping with the food pantry. Pastor and his wife are doing this and that and the other thing. The kids are involved in worship. How much more can anyone do than you're already doing? Well, faith to believe in this context is many hands make light work. So you're trusting God to bring in people to share that burden, share that load. And in the meantime, when you're carrying that heavy wheelbarrow full of jerry cans full of water, and you feel like a little boy trying to heave that thing up and march through the potholes, in that moment you say, God, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me that I need to know? Help me, Lord, to see it. I want to assure you that the faith statements here relate more to God than to us. The author of Hebrews does put it in perspective in Hebrews 11:1. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In other words, we're trusting not that we can do more, but that God will do more. The word of life, or God, is like the seed that we need to grow, and the more we hear the voice of God, the more seed we can plant. Author Glenna Marshall said this. She said, farming our hearts for spiritual growth and faithfulness requires both investment and patience. My wife and I, over the years, have tried multiple times to grow a garden. I don't know what it is, but our family seems to attract critters. Things like squirrels that are on a dietary binge. and they find my yard and they think they have found a little piece of heaven. I watched one day, years ago, we had this beautiful tomato plant that was putting on these gorgeous tomatoes. And I was just waiting for that perfect moment of ripeness. I was going to pick that tomato off of there. I was going to let it sun in the window for another couple of days. And then I was going to taste the meaty goodness of that tomato. And I went out the day I chose to pick it. And there were huge bite marks taken out of it and every other ripening tomato. He didn't eat one. He took a bite out of each. And I'm not one who really wants to share. So all that time and patience that I had invested in waiting to see this harvest, it was for naught. My wife's family, on the other hand, they could take a small plot of land, like maybe this section of seeding over here, and they'd have it so productive they'd feed five families. And I looked at them in awe, wondering how in the world they could have done it. I never did figure it out. But this year we tried boxing all of the garden into boxes and raising them. And we have peppers and we have chive and we have lettuce and we have tomato plants coming up from seed. I mean, I'm the guy that buys the mature tomato plant because I want it next week. This year we bought the seed. It's worked out fabulously. But I have to wonder sometimes, what is God going to do to bring this thing to fruit? Are we going to get to share in the bounty, or are we just going to feed the local wildlife? There's faith involved that we get to be a part of this. Farmers don't sit on their hands throughout spring and summer, hoping a few crops will pop up out of thin air. They work diligently toward the harvest, and they know that they must wait patiently for the crops to take root and to grow and to bear fruit. It's faith. Every year, faith. It isn't built overnight. It comes only after a season of uncertainty, and then there's proof that God is who He says He is. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, through the word of Christ, Romans 10. I could use your prayer right now. I'm having a little bit of a tough time. I don't know what's going on, but just kind of out of sync here. So if you wouldn't mind just praying with me, I'd appreciate it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all that you do. You are good and your mercies endure forever. So I pray, God, that whatever this is would pass and that there would be health again, God. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there comes a time when we have to ask the question, what does God want us to do? What's next? And I think for Conway, you're there. God, what is it that you want us to do that we have to believe in faith for that cannot happen unless you help us? I want you to just agree in prayer with Pastor Scott that he wouldn't walk alone in this, that you'd walk with him, that you'd walk in sync with the Holy Spirit and with each other, and that God would have his way. Faith is important to us. Faith is essential for the growth of the church, and I believe that faith is the thing that's going to carry us forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father, you are good and you reward those who diligently seek you. We come in faith and believe you, God, for miracles. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask of them. So, Father, I pray over this congregation that they will have faith to believe for the things that they are being led to do by your Holy Spirit through Pastor Scott, that they would walk in sync, that they would see these things happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you to keep the squirrels from holding them to unless did you see them actually hiding them? It could have been birds. Birds get into mine, squirrels do too sometimes. But the reason is because they're looking for water. So if you keep a bird bath or a bowl of water for them, it would be less likely that they'll get into your...
We don't, though. Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to just sit for a minute. I am really not feeling good, so...
I'm sorry?
I'm going to sit for a minute. I'm really not feeling good.
Oh, okay. Oh. I don't want to leave yet. What do we need? Do we need some water?
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right. I'm just not entirely sure. It was a long day yesterday. Preached last night. Came here this morning. I think it may just be...
Can you get that for you there?
I gotta gotta be diligent.
Sorry.
It's all right. Whew. Nothing like getting dizzy.
Yeah, I feel you. I have fallen so many times, and I had to have surgery on my leg twice because of one fall.
Yeah, I'm due for a hip replacement.
Oh.
And I got to put it off because I'm going to Rwanda in July.
Yeah.
Due to church ministry there.
It's been very bad today. We're going to get our nails.
I'm not going anywhere till this passes.
Yeah,
so.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've
got
steps
to get down here too. So,
sorry
take
about
your
this.
Time.
Very sorry about that. I heard myself slurring words and I was losing.